Question was, where do you go for guidance? Who do you turn to for guidance? All kinds of ideas out there. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to turn to your neighbor and just say one person or one place that you go for guidance. Who do you turn to, or who have you turned to for guidance in your life? And you're not allowed to say YouTube. All right, you're not allowed to say that. All right, think of a real person. Sorry, Jason. I know, I was like, what? There's all right, 30 seconds, go for it. Just turn and one person. So there's no YouTube video for this, but we had a project that we needed to get started or get going this week here in the office, and it was kind of crazy. I didn't know where the guidance was going to come from. Started rounding up some of the guys in the office, and what we needed to do is we needed to figure out a way to get a 400-pound baptistry tub into that little hole right there. Go ahead and show the picture, Beth. There's no videos for this. All right, there's no guidance, there's no rule book or anything like that. It was just a matter of just kind of winging it. Now you're going to see Jeff and Nate and Dale and Dean on there. They were the brains of the operation, providing the mental guidance, and Jeff and I were the muscle, providing the physical guidance. So you can tell we're in big trouble. I can show you the video, but it's been burned because of what might have happened as a result of this. But at the end of this 30 minutes or 40 minutes or whatever it was, we managed to guide this tub guide it in there and just kind of scrape up a few little things and that probably shouldn't, and cut some stuff, and Linwood was back in there just kind of, and boom, it kind of didn't fall in. That would have been really dangerous, but just kind of slid in there. So hopefully in the next couple weeks or so, we will be able to use the baptistry again. All right, y'all excited about that? It'd be awesome. Now, the great news is over the last year, 2 years actually, without a baptistry or not, we had almost 80 baptisms here at CCW, all over the county and over in Building B, and God is mighty and at work and providing guidance even without, you know, without that thing. I don't know who's going to be the first one in there, but we're not going to tell you when it's coming in, because it'll be like, you know, ready to go. Man, guidance. Man, we're talking about the God who always guides, and we're in this series called The God Who Wants You to Know Him. The God who wants you to know him will guide us. It does. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God will actually give us guidance? Last week, Linwood talked about the God who is majestic, who needs to be experienced, and he took us back to the Old Testament. To kind of show us Moses and the Israelites and some amazing stories there, because they had firsthand seen God in his majesty and experienced him, and they actually followed God. So I thought it'd be a good idea to go back there to the book, to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers, to kind of show you the Israelites and Moses, and then we'll follow up with some other examples that God really does guide his people. He always has. And he continues to do so today. So we're gonna ask that question. Does God guide us, and how does he guide us today? Go ahead and turn real quick back to the book of Exodus. Exodus 13. You can start there. We'll have a little bit of it on the screen there for you. And then over in Numbers 9, so you can kind of just put your thumb there. It's a mirror story to Exodus 40. So either one would work, but Numbers 9 I thought would be a little more detailed. Exodus 13 and Numbers 9. In Exodus 13, after 430 years of slavery in Egypt, God delivers Moses and the Israelites away from the hands of Pharaoh, and he delivers them. He delivers them, and they're chased by Pharaoh. They cross the Red Sea. You guys may know the story. And then finally, across the sea, Pharaoh and his men are lost. The armies are behind them now, and now the Israelites are free. They're free and heading towards, God is guiding them towards the land of milk and honey that he had promised them. This was their goal. This is where they were going. And in verse 20, it says, after leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. Now help me out here. Ready? By day, the Lord went ahead of them. Say that with me. The Lord went ahead of them. See that? He's guiding them. In a pillar of cloud to, you ready? Guide them. Say, guide them. Yes, he's guiding them on their way. By night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. This was awesome because in the desert, I don't know if you've ever been out in the desert, but the cloud would cover them, give them shade during the day, and nighttime, the fire would give them light so they didn't need to be afraid of scary things, and then they could see where they were going. But verse 22, neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. See how God's ahead of them. He's leading them. He's guiding them all along the way. Now, 2 years later, they've been at this. 2 years later, and God is still guiding Israel through all kinds of adventures. We see the Ten Commandments and the burning bush, and God's regularly visits with Moses and more. And finally, they're camped at Sinai, and the 12 tribes of Israel are set up. So if you turn to Numbers 9, you're going to see that the tabernacle has been built, this tent of meeting for God, and his presence would dwell there. He sets up the 12 tribes, and if you look at Numbers 9, just go ahead and look at verses 15 through 23, and again, I'm going to need your help with this. Verse 15, on the day the tabernacle, the tent of agreement was set up, so the tabernacle set up, the cloud covered it. What cloud was it? The cloud of the presence of God. We already saw that back in Exodus. Now, from evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like what? Fire, still there. At the Lord's command, say at the Lord's command. At the Lord's command. He's guiding them. At the Lord's command, whenever the cloud was lifted above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the cloud settles, the Israelites camped. So here's what's going on. The cloud is settling and they're camping. The cloud rises and they have to pick up all their stuff and move and leave. Now, this was happening during the day, it was happening during the night, it was happening for a couple hours, and then they would sit there and wait for days upon days upon days. In fact, it says whether by day or by night, whether the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. Here it is again, at the Lord's command. Say it again, at the Lord's command. They encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order. Do you see that? They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. This is a great story of God just guiding his people. And we know historically that the tabernacle was set up in the center of the camp, and the 12 tribes surrounded the tabernacle, this tent where the Ark of the Covenant was, the stone tablets, the Ten Commandments, and other important items. And God's presence not only rested over, but filled that place right in the middle of camp with his people. With a cloud by day, a fire by night, he led them. Now just kind of picture this for a second. 600,000 people or more. The cloud goes up and they go. The cloud goes down and they stay. They camp. The cloud goes up and they move. It goes down and they stay. They stop. They wait. They go. It's like red light, green light with this huge. I don't know if you've moved a lot. I mean, I know people that have moved 20 and 30 times in their life, and I'm like, come on. Like all your stuff in boxes and moving, and I know I'm giving some of y'all nightmares, but just think about that. And they had to go on a moment's notice whenever God would command them, and it's apparent that God's not on their schedule here. I don't know if that would frustrate me or not, but God is not on their schedule, and after years of this, they finally find the promised land guided by God himself. And this continues all through the Old Testament. To have peace with God, we have to obey God. If you're going to be guided by God, you have to obey his commands. You have to obey what he says. We see this in the nation of Israel and Moses and later in Joshua and Judges and the kings and kingdoms and in the prophets. If you want peace with God, you have to be guided by God. And to be guided by God, you have to obey what he says. One of these kings would come on later, is very famous. His name is David. Everybody know King David? Well, he knew this, and he wrote of it often. Some of us know Psalm 23 by heart. It's one of the most famous psalms in the entire Bible. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." The shepherd, God is guiding him. And he says words like this, "He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores me. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." David is guided by God. Oh, Lord, I love Psalm 25. Check this out. Oh, Lord, and let these words just kind of, oh, Lord, show me your ways. It's right there. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Do you see this? Say, guide me in your truth. Say it with me. Guide me in your truth. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways and what? He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. To have peace with God, you have to be guided by God. Be guided by God, you have to obey God. One of the prophets, Isaiah, followed David, and he preached to the kings of Judah. And he spoke much about being a God-guided people. And Isaiah, there's so many passages that I really wanted to share today, but one in particular is Isaiah 58. This is an amazing passage about serving the Lord and fasting and taking care of the poor. And Isaiah says that for those who do these things, look at what the last verse says there. The Lord will guide you always and satisfy. It's Isaiah 58, 6 through 11. The Lord will guide you always and satisfy your needs, listen, in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. The Lord will guide you always. To have peace with God, you have to be guided by God. But man, is it sweet when you do. Soon, God's going to guide his son, Jesus, to earth. God would put on flesh. The perfect man who came from heaven, and Jesus was God guided himself. As you read through the Gospels, you see this, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I've been living in John lately. I don't know if you've read it in a while, but you go back to the book of John and just see it come alive before your eyes, this amazing story of Jesus being guided by God as he took care of others. We've heard about these today already during these amazing messages from Johnny and Linwood. Jesus was God guided as he guided his disciples, and they were guided by the Holy Spirit, and we see it all through the book of Acts. In the New Testament, Jesus was God-guided. Isaiah, David, and Moses. And Jesus pointed to another one who would be God-guided, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think for a second back to the book of Exodus in this cloud of fire back in the day with Moses. Think about this cloud of fire. Now jump forward to the New Testament when Jesus, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, disappears in what? A cloud. He disappears in a cloud, and then the Holy Spirit comes like a fire upon his church in Acts chapter 2. Just as Jesus promised it would in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, God mysteriously and supernaturally sends his Spirit into his people, and he lives in those who make Jesus Lord and are baptized in his name. And like the Old Testament tabernacle, just like it, God is present in the center of our lives today as God guided people through his Holy Spirit. To have peace with God, you have to be guided by God. And his Spirit will guide us as we obey him. And if you lack God's guidance, it's not because he's not leading. We've seen this all through the Old Testament. It's not because he's not leading. It's because we're not following. If you lack God's guidance today, it's not because God doesn't guide. It's because we're not following. So how? How exactly do we follow God's guidance? How exactly does God promise to guide us today? Because he's not going to probably do it through a pillar of fire and a cloud. How does he do it? We'll go back just a couple minutes to the Holy Spirit. And we began talking about him. God guides us by the Holy Spirit. Look at John 14, 15 through 18. Jesus says this, if you love me, you will obey what I say. You say you love me, obey me. And he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And then in chapter 16, just a couple chapters over, I'll just read one verse. I will send him, the counselor, I will send him to you. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He was talking to his disciples. I believe this applies to us. He will guide you into all truth. Jesus said that our counselor, his Spirit, is how God guides his people to truth. And it's our choice whether we accept it or reject it. Have you ever rejected God's guidance? You ever just said no? I mean, Israel did it, Moses, David, Isaiah. It seems like everyone except for Jesus rejected God's guidance. Then the truth is, you and I, we're no different than them. The Spirit of truth guides me in the truth, but It's my choice to follow or reject it. God always guides. He always guides. It's just that sometimes I don't want to follow him. And for years and years and years in my life, that was the story. I knew God was perhaps there and guiding me, but I wasn't ready to give my life to Jesus and be guided by God. Maybe you've been there, and even now today, man, I want to do my own thing sometimes, don't you? Don't you just want to kind of, you know better? You know, God might be ahead of you, but you just kind of want to run out in front and do your own thing. And sometimes you want to do the wrong thing. We know better. I mean, does anyone else feel that way? It's our choice whether we accept God's guidance or reject it, but there's good news. There's good news. If we choose to reject his guidance, then we can also choose to accept his guidance and follow him. We are children of the living God who wants us to know him. We've been talking about this for weeks. He guides us to make Jesus Christ Lord of our life, and I beg you, do not reject him. God sent his son Jesus to the earth, and by believing in him, we can have peace with God. We can know the mind of God and follow God, and when we accept him and we're baptized into Christ, this we can live this God-guided life with the Holy Spirit living smack dab in the middle of this tabernacle, in the middle of this tent, in the middle of this life. He comes and lives with us. He is here. The Bible calls us his temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit, where he lives. His Holy Spirit, it's right here in the middle of your camp. When the enemy wants to get to us, he has got to go through God. Now, you might not see a pillar or a cloud physically in your life, but you know that God is guiding you. You know that God is leading you to stop. You're doing something you shouldn't be doing, but stop it or move or get away from the situation. He always guides us, man. He'll guide us in what we watch and what we say and who we listen to and how we treat people. He's always there to guide us. He will guide us through this wilderness of temptation that we face every day. He will guide us over the sin that is between you and God. He will guide us in our marriages. He will guide us in our parenting. He will guide us in our relationships and at work and at study and when we play and when we create. And today as you party with your friends and watch a football game, God is there to guide you. He will guide you as you follow Jesus to love God more. God guides us through his Spirit into his truth, words of Jesus. So what is his truth? Well, he guides us into his word. He will guide us by the Bible, the book, the guidebook of God's Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, God's voice to us. If you want to be guided by God, you've got to get into the Bible. Man, it's all right here. This is where God speaks to us and guides us through life. There's so many ways and so many places that we could look at today. I don't think there's any better than Psalm 119. Now, I've got to tell you, God guided me personally not to preach through the 176 verses in Psalm 119. So I'm going to let you go and read that yourself, because if you read it, you'll see the psalmist had rejected God's guidance. He rejected it. But in Psalm 119, he turns back to God, and the word of God is where he points to for guidance. It's amazing. Go ahead and check that out. In fact, it's in Psalm 119 where he says the word, God's word, is a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. It's his guidance from the word. 2 Timothy 3 in the New Testament, Paul tells how powerful the guidance of God's word is, that the God's word literally in 2 Timothy 3 comes to life through the Spirit of God and will give us power. It will guide us with power, the power to teach and correct and train us in righteousness, the word of God. But get in the Bible. You know, I meet people all the time. They want to know God's will. They want to know what to do. I said, when's the last time you read your Bible? I said, yesterday, a month ago. Every now and then, I said, man, if you connect with him and just ask him to lead you and guide you, maybe it'll happen. Spend time every day reading, maybe just a little bit, maybe just a verse here and a verse there. But then write it down and do what it says. Just try it out. Join a small group if that'll help you. I promise it will. Live it and see that truly God will guide you. It is the truth that the Spirit will lead us into, and we are guided by his Spirit as we read it and as we live it out. And as we live it out, we've seen it, you've seen it, you know it, people change. People change as they're guided by it. But marriages change, communities change. The world has changed by God's guided people through the Spirit and the Word. He also guides us by faith. He guides us by faith. Faith, you know, we're going to be diving into this topic over the next couple weeks, so I'm not going to spend any time here, but this is easy. Faith matters. You got to believe this. You got to trust him to guide you. And it matters to God. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Does that sound familiar? Go back to those Israelites. I mean, they could teach us something. They remind us over and over again that faith, real faith, faith is not knowing where we are going. Faith is knowing who is with you wherever you go. Faith isn't knowing where you're going. It's knowing that he is with you wherever you go. And this reminds me again of them. As we turn back and look at those stories, it's amazing. We see it all through the Bible. Walking by faith is something that we can do, but it's tough sometimes. Isn't it tough? I think it's tough because we are really self-sighted. We're really self-guided people. I mean, think about it. Today, if I ask you to look up something, you can just click on your phone and click on your computer, and you can know anything you want to know. Right? If you want to know to go somewhere, you just hit your GPS and go there. We don't like mystery. The less mystery, the better. Answers everywhere. And not only that, but we get them immediately, like now. And to make it even harder, tougher, to have faith, man, God is not on our schedule. God's that we don't always see what's going on. And not only that, but he's also smarter than us. And we can't, it's like, what are you doing? What is he thinking? Where are we going? And sometimes we don't know until we get there and look back. Or we've been there, and sometimes we don't get to know it all. Do we really always have to know? Really? And is that really faith if we do? Faith isn't knowing where we're going. Faith is knowing who is with you wherever you go. God guides. We obey by faith. God leads, we follow by faith. We'll talk about more next week. God guides us by his Spirit, through his word, by faith, and he guides us together with his people. Now, the Bible's full of these examples. In fact, we've seen some of them this morning. Israel, Jesus, the church, the book of Acts. I love the story of Paul and his friends, the disciples in Acts 15, 16, how the Holy Spirit is leading them from place to place so they could preach and teach. And sometimes he tells them not to go somewhere. It's pretty cool. You got to check it out. Christ followers being guided together by God's Holy Spirit. And we know that it's true today. You and I know it's true today. God guides his people. You know, here at CCW, you might hear this at this church. You might hear this phrase sometimes. Where God guides, he provides. Where God guides, he provides. And God has certainly provided. I mean, for almost 50 years here at CCW, God has provided and grown us through his people. From a small number of people up the hill where Building D is, in a tent nonetheless, you know, to what you see today and what you're experiencing here this morning. Next year, we'll be here in this building almost 10 years. I've got a rock on my desk to prove it. When we broke ground, we gave out these little rocks. I'm going to bring it next service. It's got 2007. That's when we broke ground. It said, imagine what God can do. Some of y'all remember that? That was 10 years ago. 2 years ago, we planted Go Church, Spring Hill, and Deltona Elementary School. And praise God that he is reaching people all over our county through Jake and our friends over at Go Church. Thank you. I want to thank you for being God-guided people here at CCW. Lives have been changed. They're still being changed, and they are going to continue to be changed. People are being saved here. People are being moved here. People are being guided here because of your work and your submission and your obedience to the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for that. This is a great place to serve and a great place to go, and I hope you know that. In fact, if you're a person that has been baptized or here at CCW through the years, anywhere, go ahead and stand right now. I'm going to ask you to just stand. If you have been baptized here at CCW or by someone here in this congregation, go ahead and stand up. I want you to look around. You look around. If you know for sure your life has been changed by God as he has guided you. Now, if your life has been changed from a God who guides you, go ahead and stand with them. You guys can keep right on standing. If your life has been changed by God and you know it's true, go ahead and stand. Go ahead and stand, everyone. You don't have to stand. You're going to feel like a monkey if you don't, but don't do that, right? No. No, seriously, man, God doesn't. He's always guiding us, and he's going to continue. Now, for those of you who stood and for those of you who's looking around the room, you got to know, man, there's still about 50,000, 60,000 more to go. It's true today. God is using you, and he's changing you. And God's mission for us, if you are standing, look, this isn't the end of the story. God has given us, and he is guiding us through his great commission. Matthew 28, he will guide us to go and to make disciples of all nations, to baptize, to teach, to obey. And he will not stop. And we will not stop until he says stop. And if he says go, we are going to go. His vision for us is that every member of this church will become a disciple-making disciple. If you are a disciple of Jesus, we want you to make disciples because he said so. Every person in our influence, every person in Pasco, Hernando, and Citrus County needs to know about Jesus. And God is guiding us to do that. And God is guiding us to plant more churches. In fact, in 2019, next year, we are going to plant another Go Church. I don't know if that's news to you or not, but he's guiding us to do that. I don't know if you're in, but think about it. Start praying about it now. When he says go, are you going to go? God guides his people in his spirit, through his word, by faith, with his people together, and that's us. I hope we'll take that seriously. We want to have peace with God. We've got to be guided by God and obey God. You know, today is Super Bowl Sunday. Some of y'all are football fans. I found this clip that I want to show you. It's an example, a video clip of an example of some God-guided football players that show us this is true and are inspirational to me. And you might even see some of them holding a Super Bowl trophy tonight at the end of the game. Let's go ahead and watch this.
But I also believe that in his time here in Philadelphia, and I think that'll be many, many years, he will lead the people in life to their Super Bowl as well. Welcome now, a quarterback from North Dakota State, Philadelphia Eagle for life, Carson Wentz.
It's just living, playing with that bigger perspective of doing it for the Lord. You know, we can sit up here and tell you about how cool it is to play in front of 70,000 fans and running out of that tunnel and the excitement that brings, but at the end of the day, we're not playing for the fans, we're not playing for the media. First and foremost, we're playing to please the Lord and to honor him and bring him honor and praise. And that's really what it's all about. And then for me also, it's not just playing, it's literally everything I do. Whether I'm with my friends, whether I'm driving home, eating dinner, you know, Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And so that's just been kind of my life motto. Whatever it is I'm doing, I'm going to work my tail off for it, but I just got to always keep my heart in check and make sure I'm working for the Lord first and foremost.
We don't get to go to church on Sunday during the season, and so we kind of have our own little church at the facility. I don't know if anybody's ever been baptized at an NFL, you know, team's facility. The pools that people were getting baptized in is the same exact pool that the majority of the team goes to for healing.
For me, prayer is kind of resetting my mind on God, taking my mind off of just temporary things that I can see and setting it on an eternal God. My favorite verse on mindset is Romans 8:5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace.
With just the nature of our lives, especially in the season, we always talk about, you know, how can we keep growing in our faith even though we're so busy, and then when we have a little free time, we're so exhausted. The thing about Jesus is you can go to him at any time. This isn't the Old Testament anymore where you have to go into a tabernacle and do all these things. Like, Jesus is available at all times, anywhere. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, for me, like, I'll be driving in my 30-minute drive into the facility, and I'll be in prayer half that time.
Let lives be changed tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Because of your love, we give you all the glory, all the praise. Bless every person who's come out here tonight, Lord. All these men and women, all these young people who come to see you. May you bless them in return. We give you all the glory, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
It's pretty cool. Psalm 48:14, for this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide to the end. Would you say that with me? For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even to the end. It's up to you. It's up to you. If we can be of any help, I mean, our prayer team's going to be up front, our elders, our staff. We're here during the week, today, tomorrow, maybe in the days to come. If there's one way or any way that we can help you take one step closer to a God-guided life, no matter where you're from, no matter where you're at, I hope that you'll let us do that. I hope you'll let us do that. Let's go to Him in prayer, and then you can go and live a God-guided life. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for how Your Word comes to life through Your Holy Spirit. God, I thank You that we can look back through the pages of the Old Testament and see how You have guided Your people all along, and how that translated into the New Testament through Your Son Jesus, and how He gives us life through His death and burial and resurrection, and Your Holy Spirit that has come and is still here today and working on us, working in us, working through us. And God, I pray right now as we're dismissed that You will continue to guide us as Your people to make a difference everywhere we go, in all that we do, to make disciples of Jesus, because there's no better life than the God-guided life. Please help us, God. Lead us. Lead us as Your people. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great Sunday.
And there I find You in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. My soul will rest in